Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. Recently released the Flippin' Pharmacology flashcards. Great resource if you're taking pharmacology classes, taking board exams, whether you're a nurse, med student, pharmacy student. So I'll leave the link in the show notes for the Flippin' Pharmacology flashcards, but it's a great way to support the podcast. Obviously help keep it free and educational for everyone to benefit from. So with that, let's get into the drug of the day, and that is pyridoxine. This is actually more of a classified as a supplement. It is vitamin B6. This is a water-soluble vitamin, and it can be used for medication purposes besides simply just deficiency. So with that said, let's get a little bit of background. So mechanistically, pyridoxine is converted in the body or transformed to pyridoxal, and this is an important cofactor for numerous different things, but primarily it can aid in metabolism of fats and carbs and proteins. So obviously that's going to play an important role in how your body functions. It also can aid in the production of GABA. So if you remember, that's a central nervous system neurotransmitter, and we've got numerous medications that can act on or enhance GABA. Many I've talked about in the past, so benzodiazepines and drugs like that can have effects on GABA. Pyridoxine is also an important cofactor in the production of heme. So remember, this is the portion of hemoglobin that contains iron. So obviously, if we're not creating heme, or because of being deficient in pyridoxine, that could certainly lead to an issue with low hemoglobin and anemia. And certainly one of the symptoms of pyridoxine deficiency is weakness and anemia. CNS depression is a potential another adverse effect or consequence from pyridoxine deficiency. And neuropathy is another important one as well. So it's definitely something I think about in practice. If I've got a patient that's reporting neuropathy, pyridoxine deficiency, particularly in my case due to medications, is definitely something that I pay attention to. So tying that in to uses. So other than getting pyridoxine through the diet, why would we ever potentially supplement this B vitamin? And in practice, the primary reason I see pyridoxine used is prevention of neuropathy from isoniazid toxicity. So isoniazid basically interferes with that pyridoxine activation and obviously makes it so the body can't use it appropriately. So that is where you're likely to see it used. So if you see a patient on isoniazid, they likely should be on pyridoxine as well. The other situation where I've seen pyridoxine used is nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. Okay, so those are two, I would say, of the most common situations you're going to see. There's a few other rare toxicities where you may see pyridoxine added on to ensure that there's adequate concentrations in the blood there. So ethylene glycol poisoning, obviously that can cause a metabolic acidosis, if you're familiar with that at all. We're going to, you know, manage that metabolic acidosis. But in addition to that, we may utilize pyridoxine to help supplement and prevent other complications from that. And then there's certain mushroom toxicities. If patients ingest poisonous mushrooms, hydroxine toxicity. So again, pretty rare uses that you'll ever see pyridoxine. I've never seen them personally in my career, but it is potentially some indications for pyridoxine supplementation. Just for your reference, recommended dietary intake ranges from 1 to 2 milligrams per day, and supplementation typically is in oral supplementation, kind of for chronic use, is in the range of 25 to 100 milligrams per day. So that can range depending upon what we're trying to do, whether we're talking about, you know, nausea and vomiting in pregnancy or isoniazid toxicity prevention. So that dose can range, but I just kind of wanted to give you that sense. So it's about, you know, 20 times or so the RDA is what we're giving for the dosages with supplementation and management of certain conditions there. Dosage forms, we've got injectable and oral available. The situation where you're going to use injectable pyridoxine is obviously more of an acute care emergency type situation where we need to get those concentrations up quickly. So in the case of poisoning, for example, that's a situation where we're going to use that. If somebody's just taking isoniazid chronically for management of tuberculosis, we're just going to give oral because it's certainly well absorbed orally as well. But obviously, if we need it there quickly, IV is going to be your quickest route. All right, let's talk a little bit about adverse drug reactions. So in general, it's going to be pretty well tolerated, no major issues. In the event of adverse effects, it's probably likely due to maybe excessive supplementation. But some of the things you might see, GI upset certainly, and that's going to be more so with the oral formulation, headache, drowsiness, and then if you get to the severe stage where it's excessive and inappropriate supplementation, neuropathies, seizure, things of that nature have been reported. And we're typically talking, you know, greater than 500 milligrams per day. So again, you know, pregnancy, nausea and vomiting, probably the maximum dose you're going to give is 100 milligrams per day. And some of those other toxicities are generally going to be seen when you get to higher excessive dosage, like greater than 500 milligrams a day. Pharmacokinetics, oral absorption's great, so that's usually not an issue there. It is a water-soluble vitamin, so whenever you see that, you can generally assume that it's going to be excreted in the urine, and that is certainly the case with pyridoxine. And then monitoring, you know, obviously if we're managing anemia, we're going to monitor hemoglobin, that type of thing. Typically in giving pyridoxine for, you know, nausea and vomiting and pregnancy, you know, we're not going to typically monitor any lab levels or anything like that. However, kind of usual reference range, which can certainly vary from lab to lab, 25 to 80 nanograms per mil. Just wanted to share that in case you needed that detail. So with that, let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and I'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for any pharmacist board certification study material, like NAPLEX, ambulatory care, BCPS, BCMTMS, the geriatric exam, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. Great list of resources there. We've been producing content for almost a decade now regarding pharmacist board exams. We try to hit the most important things that you're likely to see on those board exams based upon our past experiences and things of that nature. So again, meded101.com/store, support the sponsor, help keep this podcast free of charge. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up here with drug interactions, and pyridoxine really doesn't have a ton of them. So I'm definitely not terribly concerned when I see pyridoxine. However, there are a few instances where, you know, you may want to watch things a little bit closer. So potentially there is an effect on cinnamon. So in our Parkinson's patients, where sometimes that dosing can be pretty sensitive, pyridoxine supplements potentially can reduce the effectiveness of cinnamon. So keep that in mind in your Parkinson's patients. Again, usually not a total contraindication or anything, but it's probably something you just want to monitor if you start a patient brand new on pyridoxine supplement for some reason. Other ones, there are some older anti-epileptic agents, so phenobarbital, phenytoin, primidone. These medications can potentially be less effective with pyridoxine. Again, not a crazy total contraindicated drug interactions interaction, but something I think you should be aware of and pay attention to, particularly in patients taking medication like phenytoin for seizures, for example. That's something that we really don't want to jostle that drug level too much. So again, make sure to pay attention to that. And if you have any concerns, certainly we can monitor patients. We can check levels with phenytoin and just be aware of that. And then, of course, isoniazid actually interferes with pyridoxine, which is why we supplement with pyridoxine. So just wanted to make sure that that's made of note as well there. So with that said, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you found some helpful clinical pearls, do us a huge favor, leave a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. We've got a free giveaway at reallifepharmacology.com. That's a no-brainer. It's on the top 200 drugs. It's a 31-page PDF, so plenty of content there absolutely for free. With that email subscription, it's all it takes is an email. You'll get access to that 31-page PDF at no cost to you. So go check that out, reallifepharmacology.com. If you want to track me down, suggestions, comments, questions about any products, that type of thing, mededucation101@gmail.com. Or you can find me on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. With that, I'll sign off for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.